We are on the top of Yud Ches Amalaf, right? Two lines from the top. We were discussing Gzar Din being Korea Gzar Din, difference between a Yachid and a Tzibor is a Gzar Din. So the Gemara continues on this conversation, two lines from the top. Gzar Din, the Yachid Tanahi. Truth is, when it comes to a Gzar Din, that an individual has a Gzar Din given to him, that this is going to happen to him, there's a machlokas tanaim whether a person has the ability to do tshuva and to be korea that gzar din, which itself is a pretty scary idea if you can't. So the Gemara says, "Ditani." The Braisa teaches us, "Shnayim she'alu l'mita, v'cholyan shava." Two people have fallen sick to and onto a bed. V'chein shnayim she'alu l'gardom. V'chein shnayim she'alu l'gardom lidun v'dinum shavim. And also, if two people have gone to the court and the same punishments handed down to both of them, one person is going to go down and become healthy. One person is not going to get off his bed. He's going to remain on his bed. One person is going to be saved and spared, and one person won't be saved, and one person will not be spared. And then what's going to happen is... one person is going to daven and will get answered. One person is going to daven and won't get answered. So Gemara, after laying down these two different situations, two people again who are exactly sick, and two people who same situation happened to them, why is one person going to be answered his tefillah and the other person won't get his tefillah answered? So the Gemara explains, zeh his palal tefillah shlema nena, zeh lo his palal tefillah shlema lo nena. The one who davens a complete tefillah will work. One who doesn't does not. So what does that mean? So I imagine the article they fill in the blank. Rashi says, what does tefillah shlema mean? It means niskaven. The person has the proper kavana, so then he's going to have his tefillah answered. If he does not have the proper kavana, he will not have his tefillah answered. That's according to the first shot in the Gemara, in the Braisa. Then the Gemara brings another explanation as to why one gets answered, one doesn't. Rabbi Elazar Omar, kan kodem gzar din, kan achar gzar din. When the person davens before the gzar din is handed down, so then he has the opportunity of becoming healed and becoming better. But if the gzar din is already given, there's nothing you could do. According to Rabbi Elazar, you cannot be korea a gzar din of a yachid. But then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar yafet tzaka la'adam, bein kodem gzar din, bein lachar gzar din. No. A person has the ability to scream, to daven, even after the gzar din, he could turn over the ruling. So we see from here, the Machlokas, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yitzchak, whether or not a Gzar Din of a Yachid can be uprooted or not. So it's a real Machlokas. So hopefully, there's no Psak here, but we hope that a Gzar Din that's ever handed down to any of us or any other individuals, we hope, we paskin that one can, through Tzaka, through screaming and davening, we can be Oker, such a Gzar Din.
The point is to lay with Kavala.
Exactly, that's the point. Now whether it helps a Gzar Din, that's the Machlokas. Okay. Says the Gemara, right, the Tosos the other day, a few days ago, Tosos here in Rosh Hashanah quoted Yerushalmi that described a number of different Amorim who had a difficult time getting Kavana. He used to daven, and then he remembered that when he used to daven, he used to count the tiles in the wall. He kind of lost track. Or this person, he was busy remembering his apples or his business. These are the Amorim that Yerushalmi was discussing. So it's obviously not an easy task to have the proper Kavana. When a person does have the proper Kavana, so then his tefillah gets answered. So Gemara says further, Gzar Din did Tzibor mi mikre. So we said before yesterday's daf that if a Tzibor, an entire community, has a Gzar Din handed down to them through davening, the proper davening, they are able to rip up that Gzar Din. The Gemara challenges that. Is that really true that a Tzibor can be oker their Gzar Din? V'ha kasav echa. One pasuk says, Omer kivsi meira libcha. Kivsi, to launder, to clean your heart from evil. Uksiv, another pasuk says, "Ki im tichpasenu b'neser." If you try cleaning it with neser, like a type of soap, the tarb, of course, is also another type of soap they used to use. Nichtam avonecha lefanai. Nichtam, I guess it should really switch around with the ches. Nichtam to sealed. Your sins are still sealed. Nothing you could do. You could try as hard as you want, and you cannot remove the sin. Tries hard enough, he can clean himself from the sin. Very good. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Gemara says, so what's the difference? Why one case you can clean the stain, one case you cannot? My love, kan kodum gzar din, kan achar gzar din? Is it not one case referring to before the gzar din, so you could clean it up? But once the gzar din's been given down, even on a tzibor level, then you cannot clean it. So Gemara says, lokash, not true. Kan b'gzar din sheyesh imo shvua, kan b'gzar din sheyesh imo shvua. The two types of gzar dins. a Gzar Din that's accompanied by a Shvuah, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that this Gzar Din is going to happen, that can never be overturned. A Gzar Din that's been handed down without a Shvuah may be overturned with a proper Tefillah and Tshuva. Kidi Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, like we see, that the Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, Amri like others say, was really Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, Minayin le Gzar Din sheyesh imo Shvuah she'eino nikra. How do I know a Gzar Din that's accompanied by a Shvuah may not be ripped up? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, this is Lachin Shpati Lebeis Eli. I swore to Beis Eli. Im Yiskapir Avon Beis Eli, Bezevach V'mincha. Even if they do Mincha bring Karbanos, still they're not going to get a Kapara. Beis Eli, the house of Eli, was sworn in that they would be completely destroyed. All the descendants of Beis Eli would die. So even though they did Karbanos and they did proper, I guess, Tefillah's Kenegad Avos Tiknum and Kenegad Karbanos Tiknum, that just like we said before, Tefillah can uproot it. One would think also that Karbanos should be able to uproot it. The difference is, since he said with a Shavuah, then the Shavuah cannot be ripped up even through Karbanos. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava's Medayik. Bezevach uvemincha in Meskaper. You're right, through Karbanos and through Tefillah, that alone won't work. Aval Meskaper b'Torah. By learning Torah, so that we'll be able to do it. Now the Mepharshim try to understand, is it only Torah or is it Torah plus Tefillah? The Gemara says Tefillah doesn't work. So do we throw Tefillah out, it's completely not a factor, and it's all Torah? Or no, Tefillah, you need Tefillah on top of Tefillah, you also need Torah. That's according to Rava. Abaye says, Amar bezevach u'mincha inu miskaper, through Karbanos, even Beis Eli, a Gzar Din with a Shua will not work through Karbanos, aval, miskaper b'Torah u'v'gmilis chasadim. You need both Torah and gmilis chasadim, and perhaps Tefillah as well. So machlok is whether Torah alone or Torah plus chesed. So Rabba and Abaye, Midbeis Eli Kasu. Rabba and Abaye both came from the house of Eli. Now, just as a historical point, look at Rashi, three lines from the top. Abaye v'Rabba Midbeis Eli. Kach Shemati, that's how Rashi heard. U'b'shchid aschul in Perek HaZera. Perek HaZera is a perek about Zera L'chaim V'keva. Zera L'chaim V'keva were parts of an animal, a chul, an animal, that you're supposed to give to the Kohen. The Zera, the arm, the L'chaim is the cheeks, and the Keva is the stomach. You give those parts to the Kohen. So there the Gemara talks about who are various Kohanim. So in that parak it says, Ashkechan, the Rava lav Kohen hu. The Gemara tells us that Rava was not a Kohen. And Eli was a Kohen also. He was a Kohen. How could Rava come from Beis Eli if Rava himself was not a Kohen? So it says Rashi, Vishema imo mi Beis Eli haisa. It was a mother of his who was a Kohen, but he himself wasn't because his father was not. Now Vyesh Garsim, there were other gear cells. It wasn't Rava. Rather, it was Rabba v'Abaye. Mufarshi le Barabba bar Nachmani. Rabba apparently was a Kohen. So Abaye certainly was a Kohen, and Rabba was a Kohen. And we're perhaps suggesting that Rava's mother was a Kohen. So Machlok is exactly who we're talking about. Either way, two great Amoraim came from Beis Eli, the Gemara says. Rabba de Asik b'Torah, Chai Arba in Shanim. Rabba who learned Torah, he lived for 40 years. And Abaye de Asik b'Torah, v'gmilat chasadim, chaya shisin shin, he lived 60 years. So some explain the calculation is as follows. We're going to see in a moment that the Gemara says that people from Beis Eli only lived until they're 18 years old. So when Rabba learned Torah, he was given another, let's say 20 years, round up to another 20 years, 18, 20, so he lived to around 40. And then Abaye, who learned the Torah and Gmilas Chasadim, he was granted double that, so he lived to a total of around 60 years old. That's how the calculation works. Okay. It says the Gemara further now, Tanu Rabbanon, Mishpacha Achas Haisa B'Yushalayim, Shayu Mesa Meseha Mesin B'nei Yudches Shana. There was a certain family in Yushalayim that all their children died at the age of 18. Bo V'Hodiyu Es Rabban Yochum Adakai, they went to tell Rabban Yochum Adakai, something's going on here. So Amar Lehem, the first thing I would have suggested, maybe check your mezuzahs or something like that. So he didn't say, no, don't check your mezuzahs. He says, no, maybe you came from the house of Beis Eli. So he says, the pasuk says, v'chol marvis beisach, anything that is generated, produced from your house, yamusu anashim, yamusu, as anashim part of the pasuk.
Yeah,
yes, okay. So the people are going to die. So l'chu v'isku b'torah, v'chiyu. So go, learn, and you're going to live. So halchu v'isku b'Torah, they went and learned. They sat in kolel v'chiyu, and they lived. V'ayu koren also mishpachas Rabban Yochanan halshemo. They called the family name the Yochanan Shemo. Yochanan's Rabban Yochanan's was the last name. David Rabban Yochanan. That would be your last name. Rabban Yochanan. Not a bad last name. Never met a family with Rabban Yochanan as their last name.
What? I missed the whole thing.
The whole thing was, there's a family from Yerushalayim that used to die.
Came to him and said, Lanto, are you from Eli? Lanto, are you live? That's
what he did. So as a Hakar Satov to Rabbi Yochanan, they named their last name. Wasn't Schwartz? Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
So how does this fit into Talmud Torah Lashon?
Uh-huh.
What was the question?
It's very good.
This wasn't
Lishma. This is
to live. It's not
right.
A contradiction.
Right. No, I guess you have to say, you're right, the ideal is to do Lishma. So they start off learning Shalom Lishma, it hopefully turned into something Lishma. But no, you're right, that's Kuach Nefesh to save the family, so then you could advise someone Shalom Lishma. Right. Okay, says the Gemara. Further now.
Somebody learns the whole day, eventually he realizes that he has to do it Lishma.
Eventually. Not that you realize you have
maybe
to.
Maybe not at the beginning, but after a while. If he's really learning, that's what he learns.
I don't remember the exact years, but Rabina says, Rav Nevensal, it took him, I'm going to say, around 20 years till he found the love for learning. You can't learn the Shema until you really love the learning, otherwise you're learning because you're supposed to do it, and you do it, and you work hard. I think something like 20 years it took him to learn. Someone said to him, he says, to Rav Nevensal, he said to Rabina, I have a hard time, I'm not enjoying learning. So Rabina sends him to Rav Nevensal. So Rav Nevensal says, it took me 20 years to love learning. It takes a long time to love it. You need to spend a lot of time. Until you start seeing all Torah connect and everything come together, it's very hard. So, says the Gemara, Hamar Rav Shmuel bar Inya Mishmei Dirav. Minayin l'gzar din shel tzibur she'enu nechtam. How do you know a gzar din that's given down to an entire tzibur does not get signed off? Mar says, "Ain't no nechtam. It doesn't get signed off. Of course, it gets signed off. A gzar din that's given to a tzibur." Haksiv, the pasuk tells me, "Nechtam avonecha lefanai." Nechtam, I know, means kesem, referring to the stain here. So not as I said before, the stain of your sin is lefanai, will be in front of me forever. It is. It's nechtam. It's signed also. I wonder if it's a play on words here with nechtam with the ches and achaf, right? Right. So Ella Apagav Shinechtam Nichram. No, the halacha is even though it gets signed, it does get nechtam, even though it gets signed and sealed, it still can be ripped up. That's what we meant to say. Shinemar Kashem El Kenu Bechol Karenu Elov. Well, to Hashem, I'll call out to any time I want, I'll call out to Hashem. And he'll listen to me if I do the proper tshuva. So Gemara says, Bechol Karenu, is it really true? Whenever I want, I can just call out to Hashem and he could be Korea my Gzar Din. The Haksiv, the pasuk tells me, "Dir Shua Hashem b'imato," and one should seek out Hashem. And when is that? We know that's referring to Aser Smei Tshuva. That pasuk. So we don't have all day, all entire year to call out to Hashem. We only have 10 days to have the opportunity of calling out to Hashem. Hasim b'yachad habetzibur, hachabetzibur. Now, when it comes to Aser Smei Tshuva, that's the time for us individuals to be korea agzar din. When it comes to Tzibur, anytime during the year, Kashem Elkinu v'chol kareinu elav, anytime during the year, they have the opportunity to daven, do tshuva, and korea the gzar din. So Gemara says, Abiyachid emas. When is their opportunity to daven? So I said before, I told you the answer, right? Diyashu Hashem b'matzo. Diyashu Hashem b'matzo literally means, seek out Hashem when he wants you. Hashem seeks you out in certain times. Well, what time is that? It's not the entire year, that much we know, but when is it? So as I told you before, Amar Rabba Barvua Elu Asar Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. These are 10 days in between and including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that Zakash Baruch Hu seeks out our davening. Pasuk says now in a similar vein, Vayihi Kasaris Hayamim Vayigaf Hashem Es Navel. So it was during these 10 days that Hashem had a magefa, a pained Navel. So what were these Asaris Yamim? My Avidasai, what 10 days? Was it just 10 random days during the year? Rav Yehuda Amarav Kineged Eser Ligimo Shinasan Nevel Avdi David. So again, I wish I knew the story. Perhaps Ricky knows the story behind this. I don't remember. It's been many, many years for me. Hopefully I'll get there soon. But apparently the Avdi David went to Nevel, and Nevel fed them 10 meals on 10 different occasions. So that's what it's a reference to. And Rav Nachman Amarav Bar Avua Elu Asar Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It was Dafka during these 10 days. Of Aser Shmei Tshuva, where they attempted to have Navel, I think, do Tshuva, he sent them back. I think the Avdi David went to have him do Tshuva. Navel sent them away with food, with 10 days of meals, and that took place during Aser Shmei Tshuva. So again, I wish I appreciated this better. But I was talking to someone on Shabbos who just started a Seder in Tanakh. So it's a fantastic thing. So as you learn Tanakh, so some of the stories are easier. You can understand what's going on. But it's hard to fully understand Tanakh until you see how the Gemara explains it.
Right.
But if you learn Gemara alone and you see Tanakh like we're seeing, you don't know what the story is talking about. It's completely out of context.
Yeah, I think this guy wasn't a good guy, and David asked him for food, and he only gave him very little.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
Okay. So, but if you do both,
I forget the names. For me, it's very hard in Tanakh to remember all the names. They're very similar, though, the names of the people. So.
Right.
But,
yeah. The guy was very rich, and he turned David empty.
You know what's very funny? I'm sorry.
So he died.
I just finished Shmuel. So, you know, we say every day, when we start Tachanun, what do we say? It says,
Yehov David, Hashem.
Bayom et emet me Hashem, tzar li me'od. Niflana b'yad Hashem, kiramim racham yivanim b'amplasay. So do you know what, I said this every day, I didn't know where it was coming from. So this is because David HaMelech had a mageifa, and Hashem gave him three options. Either he's going to have one of them is that he's going to have a mageifa and people are going to die, and the third one is that people from other nations are going to conquer them. So that's when David says that I'd rather have a mageifa because I'd rather fall in Hashem's hands, which has rachamim. But we say this every day, and we don't even know where it's coming from. I was just shocked.
Most of the Siddur we say every day, we don't know what
it is. But this is a clear story in Shmuel, and we say it every day at the beginning of Tachan. Now I realize that this comes from Shmuel, at the end of Shmuel Shmuel Bet.
So the more they do a Seder and Tanakh, and you learn Gemara, and they start coming together, you start bridging it.
I just don't know why it's Niflana, and it should be Naflana, but I don't know, that's the only thing. You know better.
They say they don't know Dictic well in Israel.
Naflana
be'ad. No, Niplana.
Niplana?
Niplana be'ad.
Okay.
Rishon Lipol.
Right, but it's in the hand of Hashem. Nipla is Nafla or Nipla?
In modern Hebrew is Niplana.
Uh-huh. Okay, so
I don't know in Rishon
Lipol. Then in all the Hebrews also Niplana.
Okay.
All right.
Fine, two dots now. Gemara says around 10 lines from the bottom, quoting from the Mishnah, B'Rosh Hashanah called by Ha'olam over in Lefanav Kivnei Marom. So we talk about the different times of the year we get judged for Tefuah and Elan and Me'amayim. So Rosh Hashanah, all the world comes passing through Kivnei Maron. What is Kivnei Maron? Kivnei Maron asks Gemara. So Hachi Targumi, this is the explanation. Kivnei Amrana, like the Amrana is a sheep passing through. I think Rashi explains what the image is here. So Rashi says it's all the way towards the top. He says around 10 narrow lines down, Rosh Hashanah, called by Olam, Kivnei Amrana, Kvasim Shemonim Osam La'asran, like sheep passing through that you're counting to take Meiser. The Yotzin Zachazah, one after the next, passes through the little Pesach Katan. Shein Yichon Latzeis Gecha, the small little opening, one passes at a time, you count till you get the 10th one. So that's how we get counted individually, passing through in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then Rish Lakish Amar, Kimalos Beis Maron, like stairs going up the Beis Maron. See, Rashi explained is Mavalos Beis Maron, Haderech Katzar, very short path, Ve'in Shnaim Yichon Lelech, very narrow, two can't pass, Zeh Betadeh, one next to the other, Sheha'emek Amuk Mishnei Tzidei Haderech, it's very narrow, it's like a tiny bridge, and there's, you could drop on either side, a very small, narrow bridge, and passing one by one, and Sheha'emek, fine, so I'm not sure exactly, it sounds like the same idea. There must be something deeper as whether passing through a little entrance or going on a very steep stairwell. But the idea is one we get judged one at a time. Then Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kichayalos Shel Beis David, like soldiers of the house of David. Who Rashi explains a little bit further down. Kichayalos Shel Beis David Ukivnei Maron Kivnei Chayalos Shel Melech Maron Lashon Maros Va'adnus. He would count them as they go out, 1, 2, 3, to know how many soldiers. So it's really pretty much the same idea on a very superficial level, that we get counted one by one, we get judged one by one, but there's something more deeper here also, I imagine, whether compared to sheep, or compared to soldiers, or compared to walking on a steep stairs. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Yochanan, V'chula niskarim b'skir achas. So if you remember from the halachas of Meiser Behema tells us that every 10th animal, you have to stamp it with a little mark, a red mark, that this is the Meiser. So in this case, all of us get marked. We get it all stamped with a skir achas, that we were counted and that we were judged. So this Tosa, I'm sure, has a lot of depth to it. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, af anu nami tanina, we also learn in the Mishnah, hayotze yacha libam hamevinah kol ma'asem. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of everyone together in their hearts, and he understands all the actions. What does this pasuk even mean? So my kamar, what does the pasuk mean? Ilei mahachi kamar. If you're going to say it means as follows, dibarnu l'chul amma, he created the world, yach levayu kadade, and he made all their hearts the same, we see that the hearts are not the same. Everyone's mind and hearts work differently. Elalav halchi kamar, is it not to say the following? Hayotzer roa yachalibam. The creator, Hashem, of course, sees together all as one, everyone's hearts, umevina komasem, and he's able to distinguish and separate all the actions separately. So I guess the idea is as follows. Although he sees everything in one shot, he looks at them all separately and judges them each independently. Skirachat means one altogether. Aha. Uh-huh. That's pshat? Or is that someone's explaining?
That's Rabbi Chaim
Hakain.
Friedlander.
Okay. And now we're on to the new Mishnah. Very, very different topic now. Mishnah tells us, Al Shisha Chadashim Hashluchin Yotzin. There's 6 months that the messengers go out from Beis Din that they know that the month is going to be the new month. So remember how it works is every single month has 29 days at least. The next day, day 30, is either going to be day 30, and day 31 is really going to be the next month, which will really be day 1, or that day 30 is going to be day 1, it'll only be a 29-day month. So every month at least 29 days, the question is, what will the next day be? Will be the next month, first the next month, or will it be day 30, pushing off the month one day?
Again, I'm missing the point.
No, he's just explaining the different chadashim.
I understand. But how again, in Israel, they see the moon, they go 29, 30, doesn't matter what. How in America, they know the days, when is Rosh
Chodesh? Right, so back then...
It takes so long.
Correct. So they used to send messengers out. Well, we'll see later on.
Whatever, in Babel.
So they sent out as far as possible. Messengers used to have these fires.
It takes time.
It took several weeks in Ekonami.
And then the Tzedukim, they used to do it on the wrong day just to bother them. So in those days, they knew right away, but then they decided that they wouldn't do it anymore.
How did they know right away, the guy in Babel?
Because they used to go from mountain to mountain, light fire.
So. Even though it takes time from mountain to mountain, it's not like, you know...
They did the best they could.
Yeah.
Until the message gets through to Babel, it can take a few days.
Yeah, it should know it does.
No, it does.
So, you missed...
No, but Rosh Chodesh is not that important. Right, it's really the Yontif.
The Yontif is important.
I understand.
So you have two weeks until Pesach.
But you get Yontif based on Rosh Chodesh, right? If it's the Dvav, you need to know when it's Aleph.
No, I'm saying, but you have 2 weeks, which is enough time to get to Bavel.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Okay. What about Rosh Hashanah?
Rosh Hashanah is 2 days everywhere because they weren't able to find out. We'll get to Rashi is going to explain all these. Let's go one by one. We'll get to each one. So Al Shisha Chadashim Hashluchin Yotzin. Now 6 months they would send messengers out. Al Nisan b'Pnei Pesach. They send out on Nisan, so they know which day is Pesach. So let's read through Rashi just to get a clarity here. Rashi, let's go through all the Rashi in the Mishnah. First he starts off Al Shisha Chadashim Shluchin Yotzin. Shekitchu Basin Hachodesh Al Pi Edim Kishiro Es Hachodesh. When the Edim see the new moon, they say now is the new Chodesh. Umodin Hashluchin Legola, and the messengers would let it be known to all the exile. Yom Shekachu, which day was the new day, the new month? Imba Yom Shloshim Chodesh Shavar Chaser. Is day 30 is going to be the new month? So they really the previous month is missing a day. Only has 29 days. Oba Yom Shloshim Ve'echa. That really the 31st day is going to be the day of the next month. V'Chodesh Shavar Mala, and the previous month was a full month having a full 30 days. They'd go until Pesach. They'd go for 2 weeks long, minus the one or two Shabbosos or two or three Shabbosos that happen during those 2 weeks. Then the Mishnah says, Av, Av, they'd go out. Mipnei HaTainis, they'd go on Av for the Tainis. And Rashi explains here, Al-Ab b'pnei ha-tainis, b'holchen kol shmoras yahayamim chus min ha-shabbos. They'd have 8 days, so less time to do, they'd do the best they can. Only so much you could do.
So why do you need to go for 2 weeks in Pesach? If here they're going only for 8 days, meaning the furthest place, is it takes 8 days or does it take
It's a good question. So I'm guessing it's going to be 2 weeks, that's right. And let's say when it comes to Tisha B'Av, I'm not sure what they would do in the if you didn't get the messengers by day 9. They'd probably have to just make an assumption and just fast based on, just pick a day to fast. It's hard for us to imagine, but they lived in a time of uncertainty. And then the Mishnah says, Al Elul, they'd go out mibnei Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah, they have to know when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. So Rashi explains this one. It's a little bit longer. Al Elul mibnei Rosh Hashanah. Modin Masai Hischil Elul. They have to know when Elul begins. And they have to make Rosh Hashanah 30 days from when Elul begins.
They're not waiting for the Edim.
Right, because right, the Rosh Hashanah, most years, ain't Elul Mubar. Most years, it will not be a full 30-day Elul. So day 30 is really going to be the first day of Tishrei. Because they're never going to really know when Tishrei, the new moon is going to be in Tishrei. They're not going to find out. They have to calculate based on when Elul is and count 30 days from the first day of Elul. Even though they may not know, May Tishrei is really after 30 days, it's going to be the 31st day. Shema Yavru Basin, EF Shalahan Ladas. They don't know any better. It's an impossibility. So therefore, they have to rely on most years. If they don't know when Elul begins, Lo Yadu Yom Shloshim Shalah, they won't know day 30. So they have to know day 1 of Elul to calculate day 30, which is Rosh Hashanah. Same thing with Tisha B'Av. 8 days, they get to tell all the places they get to. Those who don't get word, they have to just make an assumption and pick a day for Tisha B'Av, I guess. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Al Tishrei mipnei takaras hamados. Now they also have to send out when Tishrei becomes the actual day Aleph, because they have to know when Yom Kippur is going to be and when Sukkot is going to be. And then Rashi says, sorry, we'll go back to continue the Gemara, the Mishnah. Al Kislev mipnei Chanukah. They have to know when Chanukah is going to be. So that, I'm not understanding that one because Chanukah starts, right, I guess 25. Okay, makes sense, actually. You have 25 days. Okay, it does. I'm sorry. And then Al Adar mipnei Hapurim, Uchshaya Beisa Mikdash Kayim, Yotzin Af Al Iyar mipnei Pesach Katan, which is Pesach Sheni. So 6 months, and then during the times of Beisa Mikdash, you even need a 7th month for Pesach Sheni. So that's the new mission. So the Gemara says, V'lifku Nami Atamas V'tevis. We said we sent out on Ab because Tisha B'Av.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
This happened. This. Till when did they send Shluchim? I mean, sorry.
No, we're good. Yeah.
Like, did they send Shluchim after the second, the proven second Beis HaMikdash, or once the second Mikdash was Necharah, then it stopped?
No, even afterwards, I think they sent it out. I think so. There's a certain point in time.
They always kept on sending because they always were based in Yerushalayim.
Right.
Till Hillel did the permanent calendar.
Exactly. It was a Hillel or Rabban Gamliel? It was a Hillel?
I think it was Hillel.
Not
Hillel. I think there are two Hillels, right?
Okay.
Maybe
wrong. I'm not sure.
I thought it was
Hillel. We might see later on the Gemaras. I don't remember. They might talk. But somebody, some Tana, made a whole system. It's called Al-Pi Cheshbon.
Right.
This is Al-Piria when they saw it. Later on, I don't know when, but I think after the destruction of the Bais Sheni, but again, I could be wrong. Then someone made a calculation of all the months and no need for eight days anymore.
It was after the
Israeli Hillel.
Oh, okay.
In the year 358.
Yeah, okay. That was after the Churban Bais Sheni.
Right.
Right.
Well, the Churban Bais Sheni was
70.
That was 70 after.
Yeah, so this is 358.
Wait. Right. And the Mishnah was compiled sometime in the 3rd century. So, sometime after the Mishnah was written and before the Gemara, they had this calculation by Hillel. Okay. So, the Gemara says, now, Lifku Nami Atamas V'Tevis. So, why didn't they send Edom out also? We have to know when Asar V'Tevis is, we have to know when Shiva Asar V'Tamas. Those are also fast days. Just like you have to know when Tisha B'Av is, you have to know those months. Good question. You like that question?
Yeah.
The Gemara usually has those. So the answer is the Gemara. Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Answers the following. My dechsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Komar Hashem Tzvakos Tzom Harvi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi, Tzom HaAsiri. Yel Beis Yehuda L'Sasun L'Simcha. It's a very strange Gemara, pasuk here. Tarlei Tzom, it's called a fast day, a sad day.
But hold on. The Shiva 17 ועשר ותלת 17 בתמוז, אין תשעה באב. But only after the second one was Nechrav. Before that, they didn't have those fast days, right?
No, said, but Shiva Asar Tammuz was also the day that the Luchos were broken.
So it was fast day in remembering that.
Well, a number of things. We'll see a few things happen, but I think these are referring to Bayis Rishon, though. These are Bayis Rishon. All these things, all the fast days.
Bayis Rishon. Why you need to count the Sabbath events? Because Bayis Sheni was a Sabbath event.
It wasn't Bayis Rishon.
You know better than me.
I thought it was Bayis Rishon. Yeah. I think the four fasts are related to Bayis Rishon. Now, certain things happen for Bayis Sheni also, like on right. So these all happened during Bayis Rishon. So the Pasuk says, calls it Karlei Tzom, refers to these days as fast days, which are supposed to be days of tshuva and sadness, no eating, of course. Yet, Karlei Tzom HaSimcha, but it calls it days of happiness and rejoicing, which is a contradiction. So Gemara explains as follows. These days are really not defined either way. It depends. Bizman Shiyei Shalom, Yus L'Sashon L'Simcha. When we live in a time within a government, a country that's peaceful, so then these days are viewed as happy days. Ain shalom, but if these days we're living in a government that's not peaceful to the Jews, then tzom, these are fast days, because these days already are predestined, these four dates, very dangerous for us. So therefore, mosquito here. So these four days become days of tzom and fasting and tshuva, so it all depends on the context and the location and time that we live in. That's first pshat. How does it answer our question? To answer our question, we haven't gotten yet to Tisha B'Av, so we'll leave that aside. Gemara is going to come back to that. Before getting to the answer, Rav Papa gives a slightly different answer. I'm a Rav Papa. Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say the pasuk. Bizman Shiyei Shalom Yu L'Sashon L'Simcha. When there's Shalom, so these days are going to be days of happiness. Yesh Gzeres Malchus. If there's a time of Gzeres Malchus where the kingdom, the government said, kill the Jews or you can't do these certain mitzvos, so then these days become Tzom. Ain Gzeres Malchus, Ain Shalom, but let's say it's somewhere in between. It's not the greatest times for us to live, but at the same time.
When it says Shalom means that
the Beit HaMikdash is Kayim. Okay. So who's that? Because Rashi, three lines on top. Rashi says differently. Rashi, three lines on the top, says, Shei Shalom, Shein Yad Ha'ovdei Kochavim Tekif Al Yisrael. When we're not being ruled aggressively by the Goyim. So the pshat you gave, it seems different.
So
that we'll get to later on.
Yeah.
Okay. So right now we're assuming it refers to whether being ruled harshly by the Goyim or not. So again, so the first opinion said it depends whether the Shalom or not. But Papa says there's really three categories. If there's Shalom, so then these are Sasam Simcha. If there's Gzeres Malchus when they're really against us, so then there's a Tzom. But let's say there's not a Gzeres Malchus, but it's not Ein Shalom. It's not the best times, but it's not, I would say probably like maybe Europe these days, where it's not a Gzeres Malchus. The government's not necessarily against us, but it's not peace times of Shalom in places like France or Belgium more recently. These are probably somewhere in between. So these days would probably be considered as Ratzim Sa'an and Ratzim Ein Misa'an. You have the option of fasting or not fasting. Yeah. And also in France, I also read something outside the shul.
No.
Yeah, Friday night, I think they said. So these things happen like every week.
Yeah.
So it's not Gzeres Malchus, but it's certainly not Shalom for these people. So Gemara says, so why didn't we have anything sent out back to the Gemara's question, on the great question, David liked this question. Tammuz and Teves should have had Shluchim. When's Asar B'Teves? When's Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? The answer is because these days were not set fast days. Because it's possible it was a day of Simcha, it was a day of Shalom. You don't have to do it. So Gemara says, if that's the case, that these 4 days of fast depends on the time period, so Ihachi asks Gemara, Tisha B'Av Nami. So if we're lumping together these four together, the four fast days. So just like Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves, there are going to be times you don't need to send out Shluchim. So to Tisha B'Av, you don't have to send in Shluchim in certain times. So why is that listed in the Mishnah as across the board that you always have to send out Shluchim for Av? It's not true. It's possible it might be a time period that it's Shalom for us and it would be a day of Sasan V'Simcha. So Gemara says, no, Tisha B'Av is different. Because Amar Papa, shiny Tisha B'Av, Ha'il V'Huchpulu Botzaros. As David said, a number of bad things happen in Tisha B'Av. Damar Mar, B'tisha b'ava, charev habayis b'rishona, u'b'shniya, v'nilkada beithar, v'nech shahir. Both the mikdash were destroyed, and beithar will be plowed over. So Tosfos asks, look at the top Tosfos. Tosfos asks, based on Gemara and Tainis, hol v'huchbol b'atzaros, since the number of bad things happened in Tisha b'av, the Yom Shivasa B'tamas, nami yiro, chamisha d'varim, five bad things happened on Shivasa B'tamas, k'tanam, b'perek habas of Tainis. So I don't remember the five of them. I know one of them is the Luchos were broken, and I think Yishlaim was the city was sieged. Maybe I don't remember all the details of it, but five of them are listed there. Meraglim is Tisha B'av. Yeah.
We don't hold that those Tanais, except for we don't hold that issue. We hold that issue.
We hold Zechiyah, but there are built in certain heterim for women or pregnant women, nursing women, more so than by Tisha B'av. They're more kulos. So Tosfos asks, if it's all about multiple events happening on the day, just like Tisha B'av, Shivasa B'tamas had five things, bad things happen. The Gemara says, you're right. Tosfos says, you're right, Churban Beis HaMikdash Tzkifa Tuva. The destruction of Beis HaMikdash, like I mentioned yesterday, anybody who really gets to the level of Avas Yisrael and Avas Hashem, they'll really appreciate the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing could compare to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'od, furthermore, Delo Dami L'Tisha B'av L'Tzara Achas Huchbol Abom. Also, it's different because there are five different things happened on Shivasa B'tamas. Tisha B'av, the same event happened twice. The Churban Beis HaMikdash happened twice, the same event, so that makes it a little bit of a stronger day. So back to the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, Tanya, the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Arba Dvarim Haya Rabbi Kiva Darish, V'ani Ein Darish Kimosu. There are four things Rabbi Kiva learned, and Rabbi Shimon says, but I don't agree to those four things. So one of them says follows. This is going to take us for a number of lines now. Tzom Harvi, so we have to figure out the mission. The Pasuk said 4 days of Tainus. And which 4 days of Tainus are they? So the Gemara is about to tell us which 4 days does it refer to. Tzom Harvi, is that Tisha B'av? Sorry, Tisha B'tamas, rather. Shibo Hufka Ha'ir, where the city was taken over. Shinemar Brivi, B'tish L'chodesh, the 4th month, the 9th of the 4th month. V'yachazek HaRav Ba'ir, and the famine became stronger in the city. Lohel lechem la'am ha'aretz, but Tifkayir, and the city was finally taken over.
So
we'll get to right. So there are different things about different events. I think they combined it on Shivasa B'tamas. Two different events happened. I think once on 17th and one on the 9th. I think they combined it just do everything on one day in the month. So v'amai karile ruvi. Why do they call this a 4th month? Reveal Chadashim, the 4th of the month, which is going to be Tammuz. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, at the 4th. That's why it's called Tzom Harvi. Tzom HaChamishi, Zeh Tisha B'av, Shibo Nisaf Beis Elokeinu. But my correlate Chamishi, why this 5th month, which the Beis HaMikdash was burnt, why is it called the 5th month? Chamishi L'Chadashim, the 5th of the month, which is going to be Av. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av is the 5th month. Chamish L'Chadashim, then Tzom HaShvi, the fast of the 7th, Zeh Shlosha B'Tishrei, Shibo Nera Gedalia Ben Achikam, the Gedalia was killed, Mi Hargo, who killed him, Yishmo Ben Nesanya killed him, Hargo. L'Amedcha Tatija, Sheshkula Misasan Shal Tzadikim, Kesevas Beis Elokeinu. The fact that we dedicated an entire day to the murder of the Tzadik, to tell us that the murder of a Tzadik is equal to us as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it also warrants its own fast day. My Karle Shvi, why is this fast called the 7th fast? Shvi L'Chadashim, the 7th of the month, which turns out to be Tishrei. And then finally, the 4th, Tzom HaAsiri, Zeh Asara B'Teve Shebo Samach Melch Bavel Yishlaim, where Melch Bavel decided to take over. He began the siege on Yishlaim. That happened, Shenemar Vayhi Dvar Hashem Elai, and the word of Hashem came to me, he said, B'Shana Atshis, in the 9th year, B'Chodesh HaAsiri, the 10th month, B'Es L'Chodesh, the 10th of the month, Lemor, it's saying, Ben Adam Ksav Lecha Es Shem Hayom, Es Etzem Hayom Azeh, this day, Samach Bavel, Samach Melch Bavel El Yishlaim. That's the day they started sieging Yishlaim. My Karile Asiri, why is it called the 10th? Asiri L'Chadashim, the 10th of the month. So that's how we get all the months. Now just as an aside here, somewhere, I'm not sure where, but there is someone who says, why is it called the 10th of the month? Why is it called the 10th, rather? The Asiri Tzom Asiri? Not because Aser B'Tavis is the 10th of the month, because it's the 10th of the month. Not the 10th month, the 10th day of the month. That Asiri is not going on the month, it's going on the day.
Tevet is not Asiri in the month.
It is, it's both.
Oh, it's both.
Both. So some say, I don't remember who, that really the 10th refers to the day. And for that reason, Aser B'Tavis is unique. It's the only one that if it falls out on Shabbos, we would actually fast on Shabbos, as opposed to Yom Kippur also, but Tisha B'Av or Shavas Batamas or some Gedalia, if it falls out on Shabbos, we push it off. If Aser HaTeves were to fall out, but it can't based on our calendars, but if it were to fall out, some say you would fast on Shabbos because Dafka on the 10th day. The other ones is about the month. So if it's not the 7th, 17th, you push it off to the 18th of Tammuz. If it's not the 9th of the Av, you push it off to the 10th of Av, as long as it's in the right month. But Aser HaTeves is Dafka on the 10th day. No, that's not a reason why it was pushed off, though. It wasn't pushed off for that reason. But that's, some say, because if it falls out the 10th on Shabbos, you would perhaps fast. So that's the whole pshat according to Rabbi Kiva, what the four fast days refer to. So then the Gemara says, where are we now? V'halo ha'yirai. V'halo ha'yirai zelich tovrishon. It should have been written first, because Aser HaTeves happened first. So Tzom Asir really should have been the first one listed in the Pasuk. Why is it listed last? You can from...
You mean from a time?
Historically. Exactly. But Lama Nichtov Khan, why is it written here? Kidei lahasir chalashim ketiknan. He wanted to do an order of the months as we see it. Even though, historically, the events happened in a different order than they were presented, the Pasuk wanted to list them in the order of the months that they present themselves. Starting off with the 4th to the 5th to the 7th to the 10th months. Tammuz Av, starting from Nisan, really. Tammuz Av Tishrei Teves. That's the order, even though historically it's incorrect. It's correct in terms of the order of the months. Now, Vani, so this is Rabbi Shimon responding to Rabbi Akiva now. Vani, any Omer Kin, I don't say the same way. I argue with Rabbi Akiva in terms of which 4 days they refer to. Ela Tzom Hasiri, his drash is as follows. What's Tzom Hasiri, the fast of the 10th? Zeh Chamisha B'Teves, that refers to the 5th of Teves. Shebo Bas Shmuel Agola Shehuk Sahair, that's when the word got out all the way to the exile, everyone out in Bavel, wherever they were, that the city was taken over. Shenem Arvahi Pishteasar Shana, the 12th year. Basiri, in the 10th month. Bechamisha Lacholish, the 5th of the month. Lagulasenu Bailai Hapalit Mishlaim, the one who escaped from Yerushalayim, they came, Lamor telling us, Huk Sa'ir, Vasa Yom Shmuk Yom Srefa, and they made that day into the day of, the day it was burning, when they found out the Shmur Ra, they made that day into a bad day, a fast day, the 5th of Teves. So it turns out, according to this, so reason why at Teves, according to Rabbi Shimon, Teves is referring to what they had, found that word, they got word of the destruction, which is the last event happened. So according to him, it went in order, historically, as opposed to Rabbi Kiva, the Aser HaTeves was last in the order, but it really should have been first in the order of the events. The Niren, Rabbi Shimon concludes, Niren Divarai Midvarov. My pshat, I think, is better than Rabbi Kiva's pshat. Shani Omer Al Rishon Rishon, Val Achon Achon, because according to me, historically, everything goes in order. Okay, yeah.
Something that it took them almost a year to let them know.
Well, I'm not sure. It took probably a couple of years for the entire destruction to take place, the sieging of the city. But it also took time for the word to get out there. I don't know all the events of when everything happened. I don't know. So he says, so again, Rabbi Shimon says, that according to me, pshat in the pasuk is, my pshat, everything goes according to historically how things happened, the events. The first thing first everything started in Tammuz, then went to Av, and then to Tishrei, and then to Teves was the final thing when the Gola heard what had happened. For who, Omer? But according to him, who Amar Rishon Achon Vala Achon Rishon? The first thing's last, the last thing's first. These are all out of order, according to Rabbi Kiva. So, Elishu Mona L'Seidah Chadashim, he says in order of the calendar year. Vani Omer, Vani Mona L'Seidah Pranios, I go according to the events that happened all of Pranios. Okay. It says the Gemara now, Itmar, goes on a slightly different topic now. We've been talking about the different fast days, that whether or not you always have to fast on these fast days. We said it depends on the context, depends on where you live and the time period and whatnot. So if it's a time of Shalom, it's Sasam Asimcha. If it's a time of Gzeres Malchus, it's going to be a time of fasting. So the Gemara talks about other days of fast, or really days of Simcha. Itmar, Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Amri, they both say, Batla Megillas Tainus. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Amar Lo Batla Megillas Tainus. So what's Megillas Tainus? So Rashi explains, as Megillas Tainus, look at Rashi, it's around halfway down the narrow lines. Says Rashi, Batla Megillas Tainus. Yamim Tovim Shekavu Chachamim Ayide Nisim She'iru Behem. So the Chachamim made a whole calendar of various days, Yomim Tovim, that they created when a certain nace happened to Klal Yisrael. The Asum B'Tainus, and they forbid these days and fast days. You can't fast on these days. The Yeshmem, the certain other days, Af Behesped, even eulogizing, would be prohibited. The Kasvan Megillah Achas, they wrote them all in a long Megillah. Alin Yomim Dilol Lesalav San Behuvuchulit. They said, these days you can't fast. We find this a number of times in Shas. So, Achshav, so for an example is during Nisan. During Nisan, the first 8 days, they wouldn't fast on Nisan because they're busy arguing with the Tzedukim whether or not I forget which order, Sfiras Omer, two machlokism happened. From the 1st to the 15th of Nisan, there two machlokism happened, they argued with the Tzedukim. I think the 1st to the 8th were the days they argued about when Sfiras Omer, when Shavuos is, whether it's always Matzah Shabbos or it's always 49 days from after the first day of Pesach.
Right.
And there's a second machlokas about the carbon tumen. I don't remember what it is. But for those 15 days, you can't fast. Those are things listed in the Megillas Tainus. So Rashi says, now continuing the last line in Rashi here, Achshav Shecharav Habayis Batlu Umutarin Behesped B'Tainus. Now that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, these Yom Tovim are completely cancelled out, and you can fast on these days.
Yeah, we have a Megillas Tainus.
We don't, and there might be recorded somewhere. We must have it. The Gemara quotes a lot of them. I think I actually once saw in the YU library. I looked it up for some reason many, many years ago. They do have a sefer. I'm not sure how common it is. So they used to have a list of Nisim and Yom Tovim that were days you couldn't fast and eulogize. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The question is now: are we mevatel all these Yom Tovim? We get rid of all the Yom Tovim, and you can now fast on these days, or no? They still are intact. That's machlokas that's presented here in the Gemara. So Gemara attempts to get a psak of this machlokas. The Gemara says, Rav, the Rav Yechanina, Amri, they both say, Butla, Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus, you can rip it up, it's meaningless now. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. We lost all these Yomim Tovim. So the Gemara explains, Hachi Kamar, this is what he means to say. Bizman sheyesh shalom, when there's times of peace, so then these days will be Yehu l'sasun l'simcha. Then these days will be Yom Tovim, according to Rabbi Chanina. Ein Shalom, if they are not times of peace, then these days will be of Tzom. Hanach Nami Kihani. What's Hanach Nami Kihani?
Yamim Tovim Eilu, Shev Megillat Tanit, Av Hem, Dinam, Kiyamim HaTovim, Sheizkid.
Before, ah. So these days of Megillat Tanit have the same din as the four fasts you mentioned above. It all depends whether these are days of Shalom or days of Gzeres Malchus. That's according to the first opinion of Rav, Rabbi Chanina. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shubin and Levi, I said before, Rabbi Shubin and Levi. Usually Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish come together. Here it's Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shubin and Levi. Amri, they both say, Lo batla Megillas Tainus. It does not, but Megillas Tainus is not batal. It's different than the four fast days. Why? Hani, who did Talinim v'Rachman v'Bina Beis HaMikdash, the four fast days above were completely dependent on the Beis HaMikdash being built or not. If it was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so why would we be mourning the destruction of Bais Rishon? Right, again, all these fast days were based on Bais Rishon. Bais HaMikdash is destroyed, we fast. Bais Sheni is rebuilt. Why would we still harp on the Avelis of the Bais Rishon when we have the Bais Sheni, what greater Simcha? So these days become days of Simcha. And the Bais Sheni, after it's destroyed, then these days become days of Churban, and days of Avelis. But when it comes to Megillas Tainus, this has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash at all. It's about fighting with the Tzedukim of which day is going to be Sfiras Omer, which day is going to be Shavuos. So why would this depend or hinge on Beis HaMikdash? For that reason, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shubin Levi hold that these days are very different. These days of Yom Tovim are forever. Ask Gemara, Mesiv Rav Kana. Kana asks the following. Maisa, the Gazu Tainis Bechanaka, Bulud, they once made a Xera that you have to make a Tainis on Chanukah. I'm not sure the motivation for it. Let's say there was no rain. I don't know why. They said you have to fast on Chanukah. What happened? Yared Rabbi Elazar Rachatz. Rabbi Elazar didn't listen to the Tainis. He went to the mikvah, went to the bathhouse, and he took a bath, even though it was a fast day, that they made a fast day. Rabbi Yeshua went ahead, the Sipra, and he told everybody, V'amru lehem, Tzu v'yisinu amashi hisantem. Go out and fast for what you fasted. Meaning you inappropriately fasted. Like this, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, a person has a bad dream, you're supposed to fast to be okay, to be correct, a bad dream. Let's say you have a bad dream Friday night. So you have to fast on Shabbos. But after you fast on Shabbos, you have to fast on Sunday since you fasted on Shabbos. So here it says, since you fasted on Hanukkah, you have to make another fast. Why? Because you can't make a fast on Hanukkah. Hanukkah is one of the days listed in Megillas Tainus that you can't fast on. So Gemara says, so we see that the Megillah is not batal. Answer the Gemara, Amar of Yosef, shiny Hanukkah, d'ik mitzvah. Hanukkah is different because it has a mitzvah attached to it. So even though Rav and Reb Chinya think that the other fast days, the other days, Yom Tovim, are batal, Hanukkah is not batal, even according to them, because since it has a mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah candles, then you won't uproot it.
What do you mean batal?
Hanukkah. So the other days,
Hanukkah is one of the days that you shouldn't be using simcha.
No, right.
It's a mitzvah, so what do you mean batal?
We have a list of say 30 days that you can't fast on.
Okay, Hanukkah is one.
Hanukkah is one of them.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Chanina felt that if it was during the Churban Bayis, before Bayis Sheni is rebuilt, so then all the days are considered fast days. You are allowed to fast on them. So here we have a case of Hanukkah where they said you can't fast on it. But why not? Didn't we just say when the Beis HaMikdash is not built, you are allowed to fast on any days, even on Hanukkah? Hanukkah is one of the... Hanukkah is not in the Torah. It's not a Yom Tov in the Torah. It's listed in Megillas Tainus as a day you cannot fast on.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's listed as a day that you cannot fast.
But now we're saying it's batal. According to Rav, it should be batal. The entire Megillas Tainus is batal. Okay. So there's no Hanukkah anymore. Get rid of Hanukkah, and you could fast on Hanukkah.
But the whole Gemara was written after the Churban Beis HaMikdash.
Fine, but let's... I guess we have to be assuming...
When Hanukkah happened, even?
Hanukkah happened.
Because they came to the destroy Beit HaMikdash and found out Bach Shemesh.
Hanukkah was Bayit Sheni, no?
Oh, when? But not after Bayit Sheni.
No, it was during. It was the Hashmonaim. That's when the Hashmonaim fought the Yevanim.
So, the Bayit Sheni was not destroyed.
No.
But they came, the Yevanim destroyed it. And
no.
They found more punished one on one Bach Shemesh.
No.
Oh, okay.
They put
Right, so Hanukkah, so when the story is recorded in the Gemara, that's talking about when they made those days of Hanukkah, that's perhaps you would have thought only during the continuation of the Bayis Sheni, the Hanukkah should only last.
Uh-huh.
But maybe after the destruction, maybe you would think Hanukkah would be butt along with all the other Megillas Tainus. Comes the word to tell me, no, since there's a mitzvah along with the halakas neiros, we can't get rid of it. It's not stam a day of no fasting. It's a day with a mitzvah attached to it.
So it's more serious.
Exactly. It's more serious for that reason. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
so says the Gemara further now. Where are we? Okay.
I'm
going to buy it. Buy it says, v'tibatel ihu, v'tibatel mitzvaso. So why not just get rid of the day? Once you get rid of the day, mimela, then there'll be no mitzvahs Hanukkah halakas neiros anymore. So Ella Amar Rav Yosef, shiny Hanukkah to mifrasim nisa. Okay, you're right. You could have done that, but there's an added factor of piersim nisa, and piersim nisa, which Rashi explains, is kfar hu gali lechol yisrael de shenagu ba mitzvos viyachziku ba kishatara lo nachon labatlo. Since it became such a wide known day, the nes, you can't just uproot it. When it comes to a day like the first 8 days of Nisan, where you don't say Tachnan because they fought the Tzedukim, that wasn't such a well-known holiday. Hanukkah was such a well-known holiday, they can't just uproot it. The reason being, it could be, I don't know, it might just be bad for us to just uproot something that we say in Davening just because it doesn't make sense anymore. If all of Klaiso does it, it tells us there's a certain weakness, and oh, let's get rid of this. Something comes so well-known and so well-accepted, it's hard to just get rid of it, so therefore they did not get rid of Hanukkah. But maybe you should have. Fundamentally, it should have gotten rid of, but because of technical reasons, we said not to. Further, ask the Gemara, Mosi Rav Acha Bar Huna, B'tlasa B'tishrei, the third day of Tishrei, Batlis Adachtar Minshtara. He got rid of the, what's this talking about here? Right, so he can't mention Shem Hashem on the Shtar anymore. Shegazam Malchus Yavan Gzeira Shalal Haski Shem Shemaim Alpiyam. You can't mention Shem Hashem anymore. Uch, Shegavru Malchus Chashmonoi, when they defeated the Yavanim, Benitzchum, Hiskinu Shem, Maskirin Shem Shemaim, that you do say Shem Hashem, you do write Shem Hashem, Beis HaMachdal, maybe, whatever it was, Afil B'Sharos, even on a star, Kach HaYukosim B'Shnas, Kach V'Kach L'Yochanan Kohen Gadol, it was that year of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, L'Kel Elyon, Uch Sheshamu Chachamim Badar, when the Chacham heard what they were doing, saying, writing Shem Hashem in all these documents, Amul Machar, Zeh Poreh Eschobo, V'Nim Tzashab Mutal B'Ashra, what's going to happen the next day, you're going to pay back, you get the document, and you're going to throw it into the garbage with Shem Hashem. Just like a lot of the invitations, wedding invitations, have psukim on it. Shem Hashem sometimes on it. Very problematic. Oh, sure. Ubitlam, and therefore Chacham said one should no longer mention Shem Hashem on a document. V'osa yom, that very day, asau yomtif, they made a yomtif, the fact that they uprooted the writing of Shem Hashem. Yavisak adaitach butlam Megillas Tainis, kemaita, if you're going to say that during the Churban they got rid of the Megillas Tainis, Bitel, Visak Daitcha Batla Megillas Tainis, Kamaisa, Batla Achrinitza Mosifan, you're going to add more days? If we're being a Vatel, they already exist in Yom Tov, how could we now add? So clearly, we still maintain the Megillas Tainis, and we're being Mosif onto the Megillas Tainis. Says the Gemara, no, Halcha B'mai Askinon B'zman Shebeis HaMikdashkayim. Here we're talking about during the Zman HaMikdash, where there's no concept of Batla Megillas Tainis, and Megillas Tainis was still intact, alive and well, and therefore we're able to add on to it. After then was the discussion.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Before the Gzeira of the Malchus Yavan, they were putting Shem Hashem.